You know, I get the great privilege this morning of sharing with you and leading us through the scriptures in that the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the one that gives us that power that Pastor Garrett was just talking about, the one that delivered that other pastor from having that speech impediment and so on, that Holy Spirit that works in our lives, and even those very questions that Pastor Garrett prayed about just now, or within our hearts, sometimes we get so afraid, so worried, and so scared. And I have some questions to ask you guys along those very lines. The first one I had was, does it feel like life is routine? The day after day, it just seems like you wake up, maybe you go to work, or you go to school, you come home, you go to bed. Next day, you wake up, you know, and you go through the same routine day after day, and there's really no insight to the Lord necessarily working right now. Maybe you're in that position. Or maybe does it feel like Jesus is distant from you? That it just feels like you're a believer, I know Jesus, but where are you, Jesus? You know, I think of, for you ladies, maybe it's sometimes you just want to cry out, where are you, Jesus? I need your love. You know, the heart of you women is that of love, and it's so great because us men need that to be displayed to us and revealed to us, that love of the Lord through you. But sometimes you're missing that love, aren't you? For men, it's a little different. Maybe it sounds a bit more like, I just need to go fishing. You know, you just want to get away from it all. You just want to slip back out of the day-to-day routine. You don't know where Jesus is. You're sure you've got his Bible, but it's just not really alive to you right now. Well, men, you're not the only one who wanted to go fishing. You remember Peter? There he was with James and John and the others. Jesus had come. He had died. He had rose again. They seen him. But now he wasn't with them at the moment. And Peter just says, well, I'm going fishing, right? And so those guys said, all right, I'm coming with you. And they go back up to the Sea of Galilee and they go fishing. But then Jesus comes to them again. And could you just imagine that just for a moment, men? And you women, as you try to think of yourselves fishing, that might be a little harder. But there they are in the boat, right? They're professionals. They were trained by their fathers how to fish, and their net is empty. It's another one of those days, an empty net of fishing, right? But Jesus is on the beach, and he says, cast that net to the other side. John is the first to recognize that that is the Lord. It's the Lord calling out to them. And as soon as he tells Peter, the next thing John hears is this big splash, right? Peter grabs on his outer garment, jumps in that water, and he's swimming to Jesus, right? He's going to Jesus. He loves Jesus. He needs Jesus. We too need that. And yet, there was something that needed to come yet into Peter's life. Something that would be used to transform how he's used for the Lord. He knew Jesus. He believed in Jesus. But he was longing for Jesus. He was fishing, right? And so, I think, you know, are you tired of fishing in the Sea of Galilee? You know, I am. And I'm a lot like Peter anyways. I don't really catch any fish. And even if I was to catch any fish, you know, they're only going to do this body any good, but not necessarily me spiritually with the Lord. And so because of that, things get in our way. You maybe say it's because of fear or doubt. Or, you know, I don't even know enough of the Bible. I don't even know how to really draw near to Jesus. Well, I would like to suggest maybe it's another reason. Those things can be evident and can be a part of, but there's something greater. It's the need of that overflowing of the Holy Spirit in our life. That working of the Holy Spirit upon your life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you, if you're a new believer, you might be saying, Stephen, is that the same thing when I received the Holy Spirit when I believed in Jesus? Well, maybe. Or maybe if you are a believer for a long time and you've kind of heard those words before, you might be saying, I don't know about that baptism of the Spirit thing. You know, I received the Holy Spirit when I believed in Jesus, and that's all I need. You know, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, I've heard people talk about that, but that's a little strange to me. Well, you know, today, I want to look into the scriptures with you and examine the work of the Holy Spirit in our life today, in our life past, and in our life in the future. We want to see what the Holy Spirit, who brings this power to us, is really going to do in our lives. So as we do so, let's just pray and seek the Lord as we begin our time in the Word. Father, we are so thankful that we get to again come to you come to seek you through your word, to hear from you. Lord, to challenge us, to excite us, maybe even to convict us today, Lord. But we do know we want you, Jesus. We want you in our hearts. We want you in our life to the fullest. We don't want to be lacking anything that you have to offer us. We don't want to minimize what you can do for us and do through us and into the lives of others. So we pray that through your Holy Spirit this morning, you would speak deep into our hearts. Lord, flush out anything that may be troubling us, that may be stirring in us, that we may give it over to you. Repent of it, turn away from it, and just seek the fullness of your joy, Jesus. We praise you and we thank you for your word here this morning. In your name we pray again, Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be going through a lot of scriptures this morning, so some of the ones that are going to be our primary texts, if you want to write those down to begin, it's going to be in John chapter 14, verse 12 to 17, as well as Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So if you turn with me now, turn to John chapter 14, please. This is some of the great verses that we get to examine regarding the work of the Holy Spirit, that beginning work that was about to take place. And we'll read this here together. John 14, verse 12. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Those are the first scriptures we want to look at this morning as we make our way through the study of the Holy Spirit. And it's a brief study. It'll be quick. There's a lot to learn about the work of the Spirit. But here in verse 12, as we had read, that most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. You know, I want to do these greater works, don't you? These are the words of Jesus speaking into their lives and into our lives. And if they can do those greater works, we can do those greater works. Life doesn't have to be routine. Life can be amazing and exciting, challenging, but it can be so worthwhile when we get to walk with the Lord through this. Jesus said, we can, as he already is with the Father. Those last words of that verse, this isn't something that we are looking forward to. This is a promise that we should be living in with expectation, as Jesus has already gone to be with the Father. This is open to us, to each and every one of us who believe in Jesus, that this work, these greater things can be revealed through us. Jesus really does want to use us. Sometimes we'll get into a state where we don't feel that way. We're crying out, where are you, Jesus? And of course we know he hasn't gone anywhere but right here, right with us, right before us. But our heart sometimes just hardens up and closes up. You know, I go through that at times. But the Lord is always so faithful to be here with us. And I want to, you all probably really deep down inside just want to do these greater things. And so as we discover more of the work of that Holy Spirit, we're going to see how we are then used by him to do those greater things. He says here in verse 13, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Of course, we see that he's going to do these things. And it also said, whatever we ask for. Now that's interesting. And that can really be taken out of context. Okay? I remember one time, my sister calls me up. It was a couple days before my birthday. Yeah, that's right. And she said to me, well, what do you want for your birthday? I thought, wow, that's a nice sister. She's asking me what I want. This is great. And that's why, you know, easily just say, I had a quick answer, a Camaro. Hey, I want a Camaro. Hey, that'd be great for my birthday, right? And so I tell her this, and of course, she laughs at that through her text that she's replying back to me. And a couple days go by, and And I know that the Lord hears all things, right? He knows what's on our heart. And so I go to the for my birthday, and she's there and all this, and I open up her gift, and I'm just amazed because the gift that she gave me was an actual Camaro. And a Camaro that I still have, and I think, Lord, you do work in my life. You do give me what I ask for. Well, of course, that's not really what I was looking for. That's right. But it's a Camaro, and it's a convertible. That was the great thing. So we can really take that out of context. And to bring that back into context, you really have to make sure you examine all of Scripture. And as you go through the other verses of in John chapter 14 and 15, really bring to light that those things we ask for from Jesus are really what he lays on our heart to ask for from him. Right? It's not our fleshly desires. It's what he lays on our heart. And how he does that is through his word, through his Holy Spirit in our life. So we're going to keep going because it's going to get better. But we know we can have what we ask for. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So it's got to be in the name of Jesus. It's for Jesus. It's for his glory. We read verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's interesting. I want to see those greater things. I want to get what I ask for, but he's drawing me to him. He's drawing you to him, isn't he? If you love me, keep my commandments. And all that we could ask for, he's drawing our hearts to himself. Love me, and those things that I command you will be upon your heart. Those desires of your heart will be transformed to what I desire and what I long to see from you and through you. See, he's drawing us to himself. And as we continue, we will see time and time again, the Lord is just drawing us to him, drawing us to Jesus. And now we're going to get into the couple verses that really start to bring out the work of the Spirit, where our focus is today. All those previous verses are great. They're studies in themselves. But for this morning, we're looking into the Holy Spirit. So it says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Some wonderful, wonderful truths there. Number one, we can look at, and I will pray. Jesus isn't depending upon you, and he isn't depending upon me and my prayer life in order to receive this helper. This is Jesus, our Savior, wanting to draw us to him, so much so that he is going to pray on our behalf to the Father, that we would be given another helper. This helper is also known as our comforter. He's going to help us. He's going to comfort us. He's going to draw us to Jesus. There in verse chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance all things that I have said to you. What's the Helper doing? Drawing us to Jesus time and time again. We're going to see how as we continue to be drawn, we're going to be continue to be empowered to go out and to serve. But it's so wonderful to also see the very last word of that verse. The New King James puts it as forever. Forever. That he may abide with you, with us, in us, forever. You know, God was never going to leave us nor forsake us, but he was going to always be with us. From the beginning of creation, the Holy Spirit was there. Genesis 1:2, he was just hovering over the face of this earth. He was involved in creation. He was there and present throughout all the ages. He was there to bring the people to an understanding of the need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. He's always been at work. We're going to look at a couple of those examples here shortly. But then we come into verse 17. He says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. A couple of things to look at. The Spirit of truth. If you turn a page over, most likely one page, maybe two in your Bibles, to John chapter 16, verse 13, this gives us a bit more insight into the Holy Spirit. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. He comforts us with the words of Jesus, with the words of Scripture, with the words of what the Lord wants to speak into our heart and into our life. We caught that in verse 26 of chapter 14 as well. We have seen that how this Spirit of truth plans on and is going to minister into our life. But did you catch that there on that last verse of verse 13 there? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come. You see, at the moment when this was being wrote, here in the account that John is writing back to, pointing to, he had not yet come in the fashion that he was going to be coming, on how he was going to be working in our life. And we're going to examine those as we go. So just hold on to that thought for a moment. We do note here in verse 17, it says that the world cannot receive this, right? Because it neither sees him nor knows him. The world. Of course, the reference there are to those who do not know and do not believe in Jesus Christ. They can't have what we're going to discover. They can't have the Holy Spirit working. Not in the fashion of which the Spirit is going to come upon us in. And we're going to again get into that. But boy, it's a sad thing, and it should really just stir in our hearts that the world can't have what we have. But Jesus died that they may. He paid the price so that they could. They just don't have it. And we're the messenger that he has planned to use to deliver it. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit, to just work in us and through us. Because we want this message of the gospel to go out. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. In 2 weeks, I'm one of the guys who gets to join in amongst some others on that trip to Brazil. And we get to go into a country where, me personally, I have never been. But I know what the purpose is. I know what the heart of the Lord is to work in me to bring the gospel. He's to work in our team to bring the gospel to the people who don't know him, as well as encourage, edify, and build up those who do. It's so wonderful. It's just been such a reflection in my life of the work of the Holy Spirit in this past week. And I'm so looking forward to that. And I pray that as we study this, that you too have such a desire and longing for the work of this Holy Spirit. The ending of verse 17, but you know him. We're believers. We know him. For he dwells in you. That was present tense. He dwells in you. The Holy Spirit, you remember the question? Is that the same as when I first believed in Jesus and he came? Yes, at this point, this reference to the Holy Spirit is. There's that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When he comes into our life, he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's going to be present in us. And so we got to receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. But there's a second part to this. And referencing to the Holy Spirit, he says, will be in you. Will. That's future tense. He isn't yet. He's speaking to them, these disciples, these followers of Jesus. He will be, but he isn't yet. So we're going to discover when this time comes, when this happens, by examining the Scriptures. Because it is actually a separate account and a separate working of the Holy Spirit. So first off, we're going to look at this, how the Holy Spirit comes alongside us. That's how the Holy Spirit originally works in our life. That's typically when we read the Old Testament Scriptures, even up to this point in the Gospel of John, how the Holy Spirit was alongside the people, working and moving for the glory of God. In Genesis 41:38, it says, Pharaoh speaking to Joseph, just after Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream about drought coming to Egypt and laying out the plan of survival, said, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in the Old Testament times. It's not something new to the New Testament. He was at work. Okay? This is one example of how the Holy Spirit is working in a man. He was even observed and recognized by a man who did not follow God's ways. Pharaoh recognized in this man, Joseph, that there was a work of the Spirit in him. Man, that's amazing, isn't it? Could you imagine that? Do people look into your life and say, there's something different about that person? It's like there's this glorious spirit just in them, working in them. Where does that come from? Is that from God? Do you think there are people around us looking into our lives asking that very question? Pharaoh witnessed it. And it wasn't like Pharaoh and Joseph were longtime friends. It's not like they grew up together. They went to school together. They worked together. This was the first time Pharaoh ever met Joseph. He was brought into his presence. He interpreted the dream. Nobody else could. But the Spirit worked it in Joseph to reveal that dream. There was an awesome account of how the Spirit was working. Nehemiah 9 verse 20. It says, Ezra the priest began to read from the book of the law for the first time in Jerusalem after coming back from captivity in Babylon. Now, the people are convicted of their sin at this point, and so the Lord is just really preparing their hearts. The Holy Spirit has been coming alongside those people to prepare them. And it says, and Jeshua, in his 3-page prayer, recognized that God gave the Israelites the Spirit to instruct them as they came out of Egypt. So Nehemiah is looking back, and it's evident. It was known that the Holy Spirit was alongside them, working in them, bringing them out of the bondage that they were in Egypt, bringing them into the desert, eventually bringing them into the promised land. This Holy Spirit had always been working amongst God's people. For those who set their heart apart to them, he got to work in miraculous and glorious ways. We just got done the book of 1 Samuel. There, an amazing account. The Holy Spirit just came upon Saul and he started prophesying. Awesome. An awesome work of the Lord. But now we're going to get into the New Testament times. We're going to get back into John. In chapter 7, verses 39 to 30, sorry, chapter 7, verses 37 to verse 39, I'll just read this here. You can turn there if you'd like. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me and the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Okay, so the scriptures are revealing to us that the Holy Spirit is not given just yet, but he would be. And who would receive them? Those who believe in Jesus, who believe in what the scriptures have taught about him. And then when the Spirit comes, it's going to be like this river of living water in our life. Doesn't that just sound great? Have you ever sat by a stream and just listened to the water flowing? The Lord was so great in how he wrote scriptures to us, how he just drew things of his creation to point us back to him. The sound of those living waters just excite me. Because as those waters come down off the mountains and head out to the seas and to the oceans, boy, that can sure make me think about the living waters I want flowing through me and from me. And as we continue, the Holy Spirit right now in John chapter 7, in this account, was still working alongside the people, bringing them. This, I hope, is building up excitement in you, because it's like we're getting to the climax of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right now, he's alongside. You remember that when you weren't a believer? Do you remember what it was like living in the world? And what it was like to all of a sudden cry out to Jesus for the first time for that forgiveness of your sins? That was the work of the Holy Spirit alongside you, convicting you of sin, convicting us of the need of Jesus, our Savior. But that wasn't the end of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work isn't just to convict us of our sin in our life, because his desire is to bring us into a holy walk with the Lord. But there's more. There's this alongside of, and then there's this indwelling of. The Holy Spirit coming into our lives. Turn with me. This is a good verse. And I don't want you guys to forget where this is at. John chapter 20, verse 19. We start to see this indwelling of the Spirit taking place. We've been witnessing him coming alongside. Now we're going to see the verses where he comes into. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus has died. Jesus was buried in that tomb. Mary has ran to the tomb. She's seen that the stone is rolled away and there is no Jesus. She's gone back. She's told the other disciples, John, Peter, they go running out to that tomb. They want to check this out. They want to see for themselves. Yeah, and he's gone. He's not there. Well, by that night, Jesus comes to them. This is his appearing. And could you just imagine them again? There they are. Oh, Jesus is gone. He's gone. Now what? We had such hope in him. We thought he was going to be the one to be just the king to reign over us forever. And he's gone. But yet he comes and says, "Peace be with you." When he had said this in verse 20, he showed them his hand and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." He has said peace to you again. I could just imagine, boy, the nerves of those guys, they must have been just like awestruck, right? He shows them the holes in his hands, in his side, where that spear pierced his side, and they're starting to believe. And he's saying, just peace be with you guys. They're starting to accept that this is Jesus before them. And then in verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" At this point in their life, they now have received the Holy Spirit. He's no longer just alongside them, pointing to, guiding them to, but he is now in them. They have received them. So prior to that, what does that tell us? In a way, they weren't saved yet. They knew Jesus according to the Old Testament times. They were followers of Jesus, but at this moment, under the New Testament terms, they are now saved. The Holy Spirit has come into them, just like he comes into you. When you believe in Jesus, when you've cried out to him that first time and accepted him, the Spirit has come into you. Just think of that. The Holy Spirit, everything that is of God is in you. He's in you. All the stuff, all that, the flesh that we got to deal with, we don't do it alone. He's in us. The fullness of his glory, that is so awesome to me. That is God. That is our awesome Savior. But that's not it. He still has more. He still wants to share his love with us more. He still wants to use us more. It is just amazing. Let's look at this now coming upon of the Holy Spirit. We also see this as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, where does that come from? Where does this phrase come from? Well, it's pretty simple. I don't want you to miss this verse either. Turn back with me to John chapter 1. This is accounted in every one of the Gospels. But we're going to just stay here with John for a little while. John chapter 1, looking at verse 32, it says, "And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.'" Now, Jesus had just come to John the Baptist for the first time at the Jordan River. And it continues in verse 33, it says, "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, that is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" Did you catch that? This one who the Holy Spirit's going to be upon, this Jesus, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. The first account. We just got started into the life of Jesus. Where does this baptism of the Holy Spirit come from? Jesus. It comes from our Savior. But not yet. There's no other account of it in all the Gospels. It doesn't happen yet, but it's something that they're going to be looking forward to. So, baptism with the Holy Spirit. Essentially, we say the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's find it. Let's look at it together. Turn with me again. Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple verses here, verses 4 to 5, as well as verse 8. Verse 8 is part of our main text here for this morning. Okay, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So there it is again. To put this into context of the time frame of these guys, we read about their first day with Jesus after he rose again, that first night, and Jesus coming and being with them, and them receive the Holy Spirit coming into them. 40 more days go by. During this time, Jesus has appeared to them three times by the time they were up at the Sea of Galilee fishing. That was the third time Jesus spoke to them. This is in between these 40 days. They just went fishing. We don't have Jesus with us every day like we did. They've just gone fishing. Jesus appeared to them. They got out of that boat and they came back down to Jerusalem. Now they're waiting. Jesus said, go back. They've gone back and they're waiting. And that's the account we just read about. Here they are waiting to be baptized with this Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and on out to the end of the earth. Now that is what they're looking forward to. That's what they're waiting for. That's what they're excited about. But you shall receive power. That power that Pastor Garrett prayed about and or talked to you about, that power that that pastor received, that power of being delivered from that speech impediment, this is it. This is the work of the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, not to draw attention to himself, but to draw us to Jesus. That power is what they were looking for. That power is what they were lacking when they were fishing. It's the power they're going to receive. So when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. Okay, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them. Not in them, not alongside them, but upon them. This is the power and the work of the Holy Spirit that we want in our lives as Christians. It is what we're promised. It's what it's expected of us. That we don't have to live day after day in a routine. But this Holy Spirit, when he comes upon us, opens our eyes to the world around us. You realize that that one standing in front of you in the till needs Jesus. You realize that when you're pumping gas, you're praying for the other person pumping gas, that they would know Jesus. You realize that it's not you who can go out and do the work of the Lord, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit to do that work in you. This is the Holy Spirit that we want to come upon us. And when he did, it was amazing, wasn't it? The promise was is that they would go into Jerusalem and into Judea, into Samaria, into the outer ends of the earth. His gospel was going to go out by the work of the Holy Spirit in their life when he came upon them. But it wasn't happening before that. So then we can jump right into this coming of the Holy Spirit, because we've read about it, we've heard about it, we're looking forward to it. Now let's observe it. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So now there came the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has now come upon them for the first time. In other scriptures, we'd read about how the people who knew about Jesus, who were living in these other places, had this indwelling of the Spirit, but not this overflowing, these streams of living water, the power of the Spirit. And so we'd have other accounts where the disciples would go out and they'd ask that very question, hey, have you received the Spirit? And they would pray for them that they would. Sometimes they laid hands on them and prayed that the Holy Spirit would just come upon them. And he did. And he used them, of course. You know, at the moment, in reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're kind of going to go on from there and look at some of the examples of how the Holy Spirit worked. But I'd like to recommend to you guys, if, if you have an interest in, and I hope you do, if you don't know and you want to know, there's this great book called The Holy Spirit. It's written by Pastor Bob Coy. It's a short read that gives you a bit more insight into the doctrine and the understanding of how the Holy Spirit works. We basically covered it in like a 15-minute little recap. But there's so much to learn of how the Spirit wants to work in your life and how he has been given to you to be that helper. So I'd recommend this book. If you're interested, come talk to me and we can get you signed up for it. We can order some in, or you can even borrow this or have this copy. It'll be here for you, okay? Now, the Holy Spirit has come. He's there. He's in. He's upon. Let's look at some of these workings of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit at this point. In Acts 4, verse 8, when he addresses the high priest and his council to testify of this healing work of Jesus in a man's life, he was before the same council that ordered Jesus to be crucified. Under this power of the Holy Spirit, Peter was now able to just go boldly with the gospel. He got to walk the streets, and by the power of the Holy Spirit in him, he was able to bring healing upon this man. Not because it was the strength of Peter, not because it was the wisdom, the knowledge of, the popularity of Peter, but as the Holy Spirit now working in him, this power upon him to work. Now, they're right before those very guys that would have condemned Jesus to death on the cross. Peter's not afraid no more. He's not fishing no more in the Sea of Galilee. He is boldly standing before them. What was the result? That they threatened him and they released him. They could not deny the healing of this man, for who he was over 40 years old. And this was done by the power of his Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, bringing glory back to Jesus. They couldn't hold him. They couldn't restrain him. They couldn't do anything because it was amazing. They were astounded. They were also terrified of the people around them. But it was the work of the Spirit who was doing the work. There are many accounts. Boy, some are probably just coming to your mind of guys that did these great things. One of them that's going to tie into our next section, but also would apply back to here of just how the Holy Spirit worked. But I want to take a look into this praying in the Spirit before we get into the life of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. As the Spirit works in our life, he teaches us how to pray. He teaches us how to work in our life to come before the Lord humbly. Not pridefully. The best example I could think of and could see in Scripture of somebody praying in the Spirit was Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit had come upon him. Remember when he was baptized? There the Spirit was. Jesus had the Holy Spirit upon him. John chapter 17, the whole chapter. If you've never read it, never paid attention to it, need to reread it, that's Jesus' prayer for you. That's his love poured out for you. With his own hand, with his own writing of his heart for you to know him. That was Jesus, our example, praying in the Spirit. But we can also look at those who were not Jesus, who prayed in the Spirit. In Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, it said, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in your weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We too are the ones who get the opportunity to pray in the Spirit. It's the longing of Jesus' heart that we would be so close to him, that we'd be drawing so close to his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we could be praying with him through the Spirit. You know, it is wonderful to know that sometimes when we pray, we just really don't know what to pray, do we? But sometimes when we're done, we're just like, wow, where did that come from? That's where it came from, the Holy Spirit. He intercedes for us. He's offering up these groanings to the Lord for us. Oh, doesn't that just bring peace to your heart? No matter who we are, the Holy Spirit will do this on our behalf in our life. This is the work of that Holy Spirit in us. Now, when we look at Stephen, this is going to tie into the work of the Holy Spirit in his life and a prayerful life of Stephen. I'll just read it. It's Acts chapter 7, verses 55 to 60. It says, but he being full of the Holy Spirit, we're going to start with that. He's full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He is just about to be stoned. He has just testified of the power of God in people's lives. And he just boldly said to those Pharisees, those Sadducees, those who stood against the word of Jesus, and told them that they need him so much. He just lashed out at them. And yet, now his time has come. He, full of the Spirit, is looking up and seeing Jesus. And he said to them all, he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears or stopped listening to him. They didn't want to hear him and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, here's his prayer. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said his last, he fell asleep. Are you in that place with the Lord? Are you in that place with the Holy Spirit in your life? That could have been you? That this account in scriptures could have been you? Standing before your enemies as they drug you outside of Airdrie to stone you? That you were praying for them, praying that, asking for all things upon your heart. The Holy Spirit is working in Stephen's heart to pray for them, to forgive them, and it be confessed. Would that have been you praying that prayer? Well, the apostle, soon to be apostle Paul, was listening. Or would you have been praying something a little different? Lord, take vengeance upon these men who do this to me. No, this was the Holy Spirit working in the life of Stephen. Coming alongside the life of Paul. That's Saul, who we just read about, right? The Holy Spirit is coming alongside, planting those seeds through the very prayer, I believe, that Stephen just prayed. Isn't it amazing to see how the Lord works? Just the thought of how he wants to work in you and in me. That is so wonderful. One last thing, we're not going to have any time to get into it, but as the Holy Spirit works in our life, comes upon our lives, we now have the opportunity to operate in the spirit of the Holy Spirit, right? As he brings upon his gifts upon us. You've heard of those, the gifts of the Spirit. That's what we all get the blessed opportunity of having. There are different ones. Some are pastoring, some are teaching, some are evangelism, some are help, some are mercies. There are different gifts that the Holy Spirit has for you. And I suggest look into it. Get right with the Holy Spirit. Get him into your heart, get him upon you, and seek him for what he has to do with you. Because he has great things in store. These accounts we read about are not just for these men. The gifts of the Holy Spirit didn't cease with these men. The Holy Spirit is still at work today. He's in our hearts today. He wants to come upon us today, right? So I want to share just one personal example as we get close to the end. In this last week, when I got to join Colin and Pastor Garrett and head down to that pastor's conference in Marietta where the weather was so bad and it was so terrible. Not where I was standing, but it was just a glorious time because I went down there with my heart open to the Lord. Lord, I want you to speak into my heart. I want you to reveal the sin in my life. Holy Spirit, I need you to work in me. Flush out anything that's in my heart that is preventing me from being used by you more. I want your fullness. I want your glory. I want to be used by you. I want to bring you glory, Jesus. I don't want to interfere with that. And you know, while I was down there, the Lord just worked in my heart and flushed out something that I'd kept so hidden for so long. Things would come out at times and expressions that I'd have and so on, but yet I was never really divulging myself of who I really was to people around me. Char knew it. She's my wife. Our wives know so much about us. But I wouldn't share it. But as the Holy Spirit worked in my life to bring it to the surface, it became evident to Colin, Pastor Garrett, three other men in our room that we shared together. And I was so blessed as the Holy Spirit got those men together. They came around me. They laid their hands upon me. They prayed for me. that I may be delivered from this thing that just ensnared me for so long in my life. And I can know and trust in my Jesus that it really is gone. Oh, I might stir it up some, but it is gone. It's dealt with. It's over with. It's been revealed. The Holy Spirit worked in my life to do that, that I may press on to the upward calling of God. If there's something in your heart like that, if there's something deep inside that you just don't want to let out, well, I pray that the Holy Spirit will flush it out of you too, that it'll come to the surface, that you'll share it with somebody, that you'll be prayed for over it, and it might be even at the end of the service you come up. If it's there, lay it out, get rid of it, get over it, move on with Jesus. One of the applications for today in John 14:12, where we read, is greater works than these you will do because I go to my Father. Long for those greater works. Long to be drawn to Jesus. Long for the Holy Spirit to bring you into his presence because he has greater works for you. You can take what we've learned, what we've heard, let Jesus minister into your heart through the Holy Spirit and go on to those greater works because he has greater works for you. He really does. They're just not about people we read about and, wow, look at them or look at her or look at him or he's got greater works and plans for you. Lay it out before him. We remember the name of our church, Whitefields. It says in John 4:35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Those greater works involve you right here. Perhaps, right here in Whitefields, serving, reaching out, loving others. Boy, I've been blessed to be here. We've been here for about a year and a half now. I've got to see how the Lord has worked in some of your guys' lives, how he's working in you, stirring you up to serve one another. You know, probably, I'm going to say on a percentage basis, more here than in other churches, because this is a new work of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is drawing people in to work in your lives. Go on to those greater works. Open yourselves up, serve one another, love one another. Because we need to heed the call of Christ in our lives. We need to remember this, that we get out of the fishing boat and that we start walking with Jesus, full on, full out. There's no account of Peter going back to the Sea of Galilee going fishing. He dove in, he swam, he got to shore, he walked with Jesus, and he was used. In conclusion, I just want to leave you with these words. Revelation 22:20. It records the very last words of Jesus. I am coming quickly. You probably all know those words. I am coming quickly, Jesus said. If you really allow the Spirit to minister into your heart the truth of these words, I guarantee you will be on fire for the glory of God. Your heart will burn with a passion to be fishers of men, and you will have no desire to ever drop your net into the Sea of Galilee again. You will be open to the Lord, and he will be so pleased to use you. You know, if you're not a Christian today, what we just spoke about, what we just talked about, the Holy Spirit coming upon you and working in you, you don't know it. You don't have it. You have no idea about it. We read that in John chapter 14. But it doesn't mean you can't. You know, Jesus loved you so much that he went to that cross for your sins. That sin, when that spurs on in your heart that you know you're doing something wrong, you know you've done something you shouldn't, you know that you have a heart longing for something to comfort you, to love you, that something is a person. It is Jesus Christ. You need him. We all need him. The Holy Spirit today has come alongside you to put seeds in your heart, to stir up in your heart the need of Jesus, the need of a Savior, that you may receive this blessing of the Holy Spirit upon you. So I pray that your heart would be open to the Lord today, that you'd give up the sin in your life today and receive Jesus as your Savior. When we close, I'm going to just pray, and then we'll close out another song. Pastor Garrett will come up and finish off our service. But I pray your heart is open to the work of the Spirit, as we'll be up here to pray with you, that the Lord would just open up his mercy upon you in such a wonderful way. Let's just pray. Father, we are so thankful We are so thankful for your son, Jesus. You sent him, and he came on his own will to free us, to relieve us of the sin in our life. Lord, we were destined for separation from you, but Jesus changed history by dying on that cross for us. We are thankful that we don't have to stand in bondage of sin. We're thankful that we are freed from it. We're thankful that we get to live victorious with you, Jesus. And Jesus, we are so thankful that you prayed for the helper, that you prayed for the comfort of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to come alongside us, to come in us, and to be upon us. Lord, I pray for each one here this morning that from this day forward, from this moment forward, their hearts would be open to the leading of your Holy Spirit, to the accepting of the work of your Holy Spirit in their lives. Lord, reveal to them the gifts that you have given them, those spiritual gifts that can only come from your Holy Spirit working in a believer's life. Lord, may they just want to so serve you, lay their heart out before you. Lord, be ready to be used by you. It's not about Bible knowledge. It's not about the time of walking with you. It's just about being open to the work of your Holy Spirit in their lives. May you be glorified. We thank you for working in Whitefields. We thank you for bringing us into a place where the fields are ripe for the harvest. Empower us. Use us, Lord, as we go out for your glory to bring people to you, Jesus. In your name, I pray, Jesus. Amen.